Davis Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Brussels remains on lockdown. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, November 23rd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Authorities in the Belgian capital looking for a prime suspect in the Paris terror attacks conducted a series of raids last night. They did not get their man, and officials say an imminent threat remains.
16 people have been wounded after gunfire broke out at a park in New Orleans.
On a lighter note, NBC encountered the wrath of sports fans last night when the Sprint Cup finale ran into the network's coverage of the Bengals-Cardinals game.
And why employers may not trust the online skills you acquire through online programs.
A lot of it is just deeply entrenched hiring practices. You know, they're very reliant on bachelor's degrees still, even though there's been a lot of questioning about what is the meaning or value of that degree, or not just a bachelor's degree, but an associate's degree.
Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber on the questions about online degrees and certificates for tech skills. She's here in about 20 minutes. A gunfight in a New Orleans park where hundreds of people were gathered for a block party and the filming of a music video has left 16 people wounded. It took place in the city's Upper Ninth Ward just after 6 o'clock Central Time in what's called the Bunny Field Playground, following a community second line parade that ended a few blocks away earlier in the day. New Orleans Police Superintendent Michael Harrison.
There was scheduled to be a video filming, or video shoot, however you want to call it, here at the playground. The information was probably circulated through social media, and there were hundreds of people, upwards of 500 people, probably in this playground when this erupted.
Reuters said the crowd did not have a permit for the block party or the filming of the music video. The victims were said to have suffered either a direct gunshot wound or a graze wound, and all were listed in stable condition, though the full extent of injuries was not clear. Three witnesses, by the way, told the New Orleans Times-Picayune newspaper that they saw a man with a silver-colored machine gun. Overseas now, Brussels remains under heavy lockdown today as officials continue to warn of a serious and imminent risk of an attack similar to those in Paris 10 days ago. Today is day three of a lockdown in the Belgian capital. Meanwhile, Belgian police arrested 16 more people in late-night raids searching for those behind the terrorist attacks in Paris, but failed to find a prime suspect, a 26-year-old man named Salah Abdeslam. Federal magistrate Eric Vandersipt says the fear is that the suspect may have fled Paris to return home to launch new attacks.
The Federal Prosecution's Office and the Brussels investigating judge specialized in terrorist cases ordered a total of 19 house searches in the Brussels region.
Schools, shops, and the metro remain closed today, and offices are expected to just have skeleton staffs. Remember, Brussels is home to the European Union and NATO. In the meantime, Mr. Abdeslam is believed to have fled Paris hours after his older brother blew himself up at a cafe there. A manhunt is taking place all over Europe. U.S. and European counterterrorism officials believe Islamic State has changed its operational tactics by borrowing from al-Qaeda's playbook, deploying trusted lieutenants to engineer larger, more coordinated plots against the West. It's an exclusive story from Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett. Devlin, what are you hearing?
Well, what we're told by European and American intelligence officials is that the early indications from the Paris attacks and a couple other major terrorist incidents, one in Turkey and one in Beirut, Lebanon, suggest to them that Islamic State is really shifting up how it tries to create mayhem beyond its own territory, and specifically that they are getting a little more controlled, a little more commanded from above, and a little more organized from what Islamic State has generally been able to threaten in terms of attacks in the West.
Okay, is this group desperate at this point, or are they actually elevating things? How would that be described?
It's been described to us as an evolution, and so I don't think it's a mark of desperation. I think it's a mark of increasing sophistication and increasing capability. So, for example, you know, traditional al-Qaeda was a very top-down hierarchical structure. Some people even thought of Osama bin Laden as a micromanager. Islamic State had a very different model for trying to commit violence in the West until now. You know, their classic model was encourage people on Twitter, to just go out wherever they lived and attack someone on their own. No training, no instructions per se, just cause mayhem. But what you're seeing in Paris and Beirut and Turkey, according to the people we're talking to, is what seems to be a new, more top-down structure where there is more planning, more people involved, and frankly, more lethality. I mean, these have been some pretty horrific attacks,
yeah.
And the body count has been much worse.
Got it. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett. His piece is entitled "Islamic State Tactics Shift, Borrowing from Al-Qaeda." All right, I thought it was interesting, too, in your piece, you said some counterintelligence officials are saying that by using a top-down approach, the attacks may be easier to detect. Now, do they mean that, or are they sort of, bluffing in a counterterrorism sort of way?
I don't think it's bluffing. Look, I think there's still a lot to learn from the Paris attacks. There's still a lot to be unraveled about all this. But this is what they suspect is the case. And I think the general assumption has been among counterterrorism officials in the years since 9/11 that the more hierarchical, the more organized and controlled a terrorist group is, the easier it is to penetrate them either with electronic surveillance or with spies of some kind, human informants. So there's hope that if they are right, that this is what Islamic State is doing, that they are moving towards a more centralized, a more command and control type structure, that will give the counterterrorism people some real opportunities to disrupt more of those attacks, to, penetrate them and understand what they're doing a little better. Obviously, Paris was awful and the other attacks were awful, and they have a capability that is very alarming. I think the hope here for a lot of the counterterrorism folks is that they can use some of this sophistication and some of this organization against Islamic State.
So this perceived change in tactics then, how does that connect them to their ultimate goals for ISIS?
Well, the goals, I wouldn't say the goals have really changed by their own accounting. Islamic State has always wanted to both control territory, create a caliphate in the Middle East, and also conduct attacks against enemies in the West. What's changing here, what seems to be changing, according to the folks we're talking to, is that the way they want to conduct those attacks on the West has changed, meaning no longer are they settling for one guy walks up to a soldier in the street and shoots him. As awful as that is, they're now having what has been described as external operations figures moving into countries, organizing and to some degree training people in country, and then having that group of people carry out an attack. That's what Paris looks like so far.
Thanks, Devlin. Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett, who's based in Washington. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In the podcast today, by the way, what there could be a shortage of on Thanksgiving. You can hear that report on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on apps like TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Coming up next, terrorist threat at a WWE event.